is one. A lot of people have forgotten that. And we're here together today to remember it. And none other than Becca Bean to remind us of that. Many of us have no idea the number of things that Becca Bean, the roles that she has played in this ministry for the last 20 years from the very beginning, and the things that she continues to say yes to and to step up and do. And a few years back, when she was called to ministry and became an ordained interfaith minister at One Spirit, she has been out doing her work, continuing to expand the work that she does, the service that she gives on planet Earth, and the difference that she has made in so many lives in New York City, and especially right here at Unity of New York, in ways that you don't even know. So please welcome one of my favorite people, Becca Bean.
And to everybody on Facebook, good morning, friends around the world. Oh, we are so excited to be here on this gorgeous day together. Isn't it marvelous out? You know, this morning we're going to explore one of those big ideas in Unity. And I think it's one that makes a big difference in how we live our lives and who we are. And that's the idea of oneness. How we begin to understand our oneness with God. And how we begin to see God in everyone else as well. Now, the word oneness, for me, I think, defines the idea of unity, as both are, you know, fairly similar. Webster's dictionary defines both similarly, as sameness, a singleness in mind, purpose, or feeling. Now, those of us familiar with the Fillmore's history may recall that they studied all traditions seeking truth. And way back in 1891, Charles was inspired in prayer to name their newly created spiritual magazine, Unity, because the Fillmores had taken the very best of many religions that they studied, and they always emphasized that all religious traditions must work together for the constant pursuit of oneness with God. Now, the concept of oneness is a prominent theme in our practice, as evidenced in our five unity principles, those basic spiritual truths that we recognize and strive to live by. Starts right at the top, of course, with God. And the very first principle, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good. Number two, we all have a spark of divinity in us, and therefore we are all inherently good. Number three, we create our experiences by our thinking. And number four, prayer is the creative thinking that heightens our connection with God. Prayer is our communion with Spirit, a common union, a oneness, which brings about wisdom and healing, prosperity, and everything good. And here is where our individual responsibility comes in, the commitment we must make daily. Number five, knowing and understanding these truths are not enough. We must also live the truth that we know. Now just think about that for a minute. When I can understand that God is in me and all around me and in life and all others, only good, the only presence and power, well, that means there aren't any other choices. That is, there is nothing for any of us to be frightened of. If God is only good and unconditional love and everywhere present, what do we have to fear? When we make the creative discovery in our unity of all life, we have complete security in the world, along with a complete understanding for and love of all people. Now, one of the clearest interpretations of unity and oneness that I have found is in the amazing works of Dr. H. Emily Cady. Dr. Cady was a greatly admired contemporary of the Fillmores. She was one of the first women physicians in the country, a practitioner of Christian Science, and a New Thought philosopher. And she so inspired the Fillmores that they hired her to write an article for their new Unity magazine. Dr. Katie, of course, went on to write Lessons in Truth, which became the very first book published by Unity Movement. And it's still taught today right here at Unity of New York and in so many Unity churches around the world. She has such clarity of thought and offers this amazing explanation of oneness in her book, How I Used Truth, responding to this question. How are we one with God and with each other? She writes, we are one with God because he created us out of himself. We are one with each other because we share the same Father. Well, that sounds pretty logical, doesn't it? We are one with God because we are created in his image and after his likeness. We are one with each other because the same Spirit of God is in each of us. Jesus taught us of that oneness when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father. In that phrase, he claimed for all of us the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Now here we get a little deeper. Here again is that spiritual commitment and responsibility. While it is true that we are always one with God through our divine origin, we are consciously one with God only when we recognize and accept our own divinity and the divinity of all men and women. This understanding enables us to see the good present in spite of appearances to the contrary. Now listen very closely to this next one. To understand our oneness with others means that we no longer expect them to do things according to our standard. For it is in this inner oneness that we recognize. Now, did you hear what that said? Does claiming my oneness with Spirit and all life mean I can't judge my brothers and sisters anymore? Uh-oh. I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. And maybe that sounds a little funny, but it is truth with a capital T. When I realize that I have to purge my adoration of my own opinion, what in the world am I going to use to fill that void? Well, Eric Butterworth in Discover the Power Within You offers us the practice of namaste or namaskar. Namaste, of course, is the ancient Sanskrit word that essentially means the divine in me honors the divine in you. Now that might sound like a lovely sort of woo-woo things to say, but this practice also includes some pretty specific expectations for our behavior as well. First, we have to understand that we are one with God, that we recognize that truth in all others, and we have to act accordingly. We are expected to honor, serve, and love others. Butterworth expands on that idea with a similar practice for us, his namaskar blessing. I've had this up on my bathroom mirror for a long time, and I try to incorporate it as a first step to fill my day with spirit before I get started. I think it sets a very powerful intention for every day. Listen to these words. I salute the divinity in myself. I am strong and able. I can do all that I need to do this day. My mind is alert, my body vibrant and healthy, and my way will be strewn with golden opportunities. No matter what this day will bring to me, there is that in me that is great enough to meet it, overcome it, and be blessed by it. Namaskar. Doesn't that make you feel ready to jump up and take on the world right now? Wow, he was a writer, gosh. While it has not yet eliminated my personal affection for judging and idle chatter, it sure helps me to set a higher mark when I read those words every day. Now, a few of you may know that I really enjoy peppering my spirituality with a little science and a little fun. And last week, I came across a wonderful article in Psychology Today where I discovered that the word unity and, correspondingly, oneness, completely separate from our religious philosophy, is used in a psychological context to refer specifically to human relations between an individual and other persons. So according to a recent study by the American Psychological Association, people who believe in oneness, the idea that everything in the world is connected and interdependent, appear to have greater life satisfaction than those who don't, regardless of whether they belong to a religion or not. Pretty cool, isn't that? Wow. Oneness believers, it seems, share a universal concern for the welfare of animals, for the state of the environment, and for the struggles of human beings beyond our immediate friends and family. Now, while the researchers would caution us against taking the belief that oneness causes these positive qualities, it sure would be fun to think about how much better the world could be if more people acquired such an expansive view. The American news website Vox recently considered the possibility that oneness is an idea that might heal the deep political rift that divides our country. Commentator Sean Illing writes, "Tribalism, meaning showing a strong loyalty to one's own tribe or social group, feels like a problem that runs so deep it's not clear what we can do about it. But the research here points towards something like a solution, namely, getting more people to believe that we are one." Now, author Garrett DeMoore is the founder and chairman of the Virtues Project Association. It's a small global initiative based in Belgium, inspiring us to practice high moral values in everyday life. Mr. DeMoore works to spark a revolution of kindness, justice, and integrity around the world. Now, he initially writes to encourage parents to teach their children what he calls the virtues of unity. Once again, not at all related to our unity practice. But I think you'll recognize some very similar parallels. So if you personally have kids or grandkids or students you come in contact with, I venture to say that these virtues we're going to talk about can easily be shared with everybody as we go through our world. The first virtue is love, that powerful emotion that binds us to other people. While love has many definitions, if we go all the way back to Aristotle's definition, love is the acceptance, even the appreciation, of differences between people. Coincidentally, in our unity spiritual practice, love is, of course, one of our 12 powers, those faculties that we are all heir to. Love is the harmonizing and constructive power that sees good everywhere and in everyone. God is love. And as Mr. Butterworth tells us, when we power up our day with first knowing our own divinity, we are love as well. So as we've now come to live in a truly globalized world, in the name of love, we must accept and appreciate all people who enter our lives. The next virtue is care. And here we're encouraged specifically to care for our environment. From the tiniest act of picking up a few pieces of litter at the street every day, to learning more about climate change, to recycling or repurposing the materials we use every day, we show our care for this amazing planet it is our honor to live on. Number three is wisdom. Mr. DeMoore reminds us that we must use our wisdom to live in unity with time. Now, isn't that a curious phrase? That made me want to explore that more. What he means is that we must learn from our history to provide for the present. The use of our past to inform our future is the most practical when we share and practice our wisdom. Now, in unity practice, we are reminded the powers of love and wisdom must go hand in hand, combining our God-given intellect and guided by love to learn from every experience and understand it in the correct context, to see it rightly, as Butterworth tells us. Just this past Thursday, June 6th, many nations around the world marked the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I heard a newscaster say this is possibly the last major anniversary where D-Day veterans will be present to bear witness to this life-changing event. That comment gave me something to think about this week. imagining how we as a generation will use our wisdom to bear witness to what we see in the world today and recognize it because of our memories of wisdom from the past. And lastly, we have the virtue of self-respect. This is our sense of pride and confidence in ourselves, that feeling that we're always behaving with honor and dignity. Well, it would seem to me that applying that Namaskar blessing every morning would be a pretty darn good way to jumpstart my self-respect. Starting every day affirming our good, our divinity, and our commitment to be good and do good and thrive in our lives. So how do we put feet to these virtues in our lives and share them? Well, here's a couple of wonderful fun things to do. First of all, we can choose to be role models. Now, we want to model the behaviors that we'd like to see in ourselves and enjoy. When I was a teenager, I used to hate it when my mother would remind me that my younger nieces and nephews were watching me and wanting to behave like I did. They want to take after you, she would say. I resented that like crazy, but it did give me a heads up to be more aware of my language and behavior when I babysat. And that kind of reminds me of the phenomenon we sometimes notice when we get involved in a spiritual practice or a community and make some positive changes in our lives. Many times we don't even have to tell the people about the changes that we've made because they see them. And they begin to notice that you're happier or have a little more zip in your step. And then they get curious and they want to find out, what's up with you? Your assignment this week is to fearlessly model your own brand of love and caring and self-respect and see who notices. Number two is storytelling, sharing our knowledge and wisdom between generations. Now, this was a little curious for me to understand because I'm fully aware of how incredibly boring it was as a little kid to listen to the old folks sit around and yammer on about back in the day, right? However, if you have ever had the joy of sharing a story at a family reunion about how one little kid's mom was such a rascal when she was seven, just like they are, that is a joy. And to see the little kid's reaction to that, they love that. That personal history coming alive from one generation to the next. And here's another really fun way to promote our oneness and unity. By traveling, when we leave our daily routines and broaden our horizons, when we leave our comfort zones, we always meet new people and have an opportunity to understand and accept their ways of life. Now, even if you can't afford that around-the-world cruise this summer, take a little day trip. Just hop on the train and run upstate, or even venture out to another borough and check out an ethnic restaurant. Take advantage of some of the Pride events coming up this month all over the city. I guarantee you'll meet some really wonderful people and get some new ideas as well. And maybe remember more about our oneness. And a frequently added advantage to traveling is getting more immersed in our next activity, which is nature. We are such a part of nature. And I think that's why natural experiences affect us in such a profound way. So many of my fondest travel adventures were connected to nature. Seeing a whale breach for the first time in the middle of the ocean, driving into Yosemite Valley, seeing elephants come down to drink in the river in Kenya at sundown, unforgettable. These experiences, big and small, connect us to our oneness. Even things like working in the community garden or caring for our house plants or sharing our love with our pets especially. So many wonderful connections and blessings right at our fingertips every day. And all we have to do is be aware and appreciate them. And finally, celebrate. Have a party. Celebrations are about gathering and honoring the things that unite us. Holidays and parties bring us together as a community to connect with time and space and to honor the things that transcend us. Back in April, our Unity community celebrated its 20th year of operation, and we had a blowout party. We had cake and candles and music and dancing and the most amazing video with images and music from the past 2 decades of our lives together. What a celebration. And what a sense of oneness as we laughed and cried and reminisced together. So do you have some marching orders today? I believe that this is our time to reinforce on our sense of unity with God and with each other as we strive to model our own virtues, our moral excellence in the world. I believe we can turn the tide and create a change in our world as we fill it with connection and love and wisdom and self-respect. And as we close out this morning, I want to share with you a quote from a very wise American historian named Howard Zinn as a reminder not to be overwhelmed by the task we see at hand. He writes, "We don't have to engage in grand heroic actions to participate in the process of change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world." And so it is. Amen.
And so it is. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for sharing those reminders of those moments. Let's continue in that energy of oneness. Namaste, namaskar. Now is the time we salute that divinity within each of us. As we take the time to go deeper into that place of meditation, reminded that our true nature is that we are holy. We are holy, holy, holy. Each and every one of us created in the image and likeness of God. We are holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, we are holy, we are holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
holy. Let those wonderful words sink into your heart this morning as you get still and quiet. Take another deep breath and totally relax in your chair. Feel your shoulders drop down away from your ears and feel your strong spine fully supporting you. As we breathe in peace and quiet this morning, we settle into that deep knowing that we are in a place of oneness, where there is no separation between me and spirit that guides my life. No distance at all. From this place of new understanding, where I am fully inhabited by God and good, I am infused with a new energy and purpose today, trusting in my divine inner guidance. I feel the vitality of God moving through me in new ways. Today, I will strive to see myself and all others through the loving and forgiving eyes of God. First, I affirm my own divinity, boldly claiming my inheritance and my power. Then assured that I am always in balance and alignment with spirit, I turn my attention to my brothers and sisters around the world. And gently, with unconditional love and patience, I focused my intent beyond any human disappointments or misunderstandings. I choose to look through any dark place, to see the light of God burning fiercely in each heart. As I seek my own good, I can selflessly know it and affirm it for everyone I meet. And now, as we move into a few moments of silence, let's bring into our hearts any circumstances you might be challenged with today and enfold it in light. Shower it with a wave of peaceful resolution for whatever the concerns are. Imagine powerful currents of God's good clearing the way for communication and understanding. Release anything you might be holding on to and see it resolved for the highest and best for all concerned. With courage and ease, let it go in the silence. Take one more easy breath in and take this moment to feel gratitude for these minutes of deep peace and resolution. A new thought is stirring in your heart right now as you become aware once more of your surroundings in the sanctuary. With renewed energy, we slowly return to awareness, refreshed and renewed in mind, body, and spirit. As you open your eyes, see the light of God shining brightly in each face around you.
so it is.